In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Friday, August 20th, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Federal News Countdown and a great lineup of people choosing the stories this week. Pleased to welcome back to the Federal News Countdown for, I don't know, this is your 18th appearance or something like that. It seems like it. Former GSA Administrator Loretta Doan, nice to see you.
Glad to be here, Francis.
And you have magically figured out how to get Bryce Harper on the Federal News Countdown, which I think is a masterful twist, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but thanks for being here and doing it. Acting Associate Chief Information Officer at the Department of Energy, Pete Cironis, is my other expert choosing the stories on the Federal News Countdown this week. Pete, great to see you again.
Thanks, Francis.
And happy to have you. It's your first time on the show, so the rules are, okay, whenever you have a chance to talk over top of Loretta, okay, you take advantage of that.
Not
okay?
True. Noted. That is absolutely not
the rookie and the veteran.
I'm kidding, okay, but despite the fact that you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan, we welcome you and hope that you enjoy your time on the countdown. And have you listened to some of the shows that we have archived at Federal News?
I listened to Allen's and Ms. Connolly's last week.
Okay, good. And so you had every confidence then, I'm sure, that you can perform better than Alan Belutis.
Well, the way you kind of ripped him with those jokes about the Mesozoic era,
well,
was,
you know,
funny. So,
you know, Alan's a good friend, and he's been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I'm not the youngest guy in the bunch either, so I take every chance that I can. We are going to count down the three most important federal news stories as this week, as selected by Pete Cironis and Loretta Doan, and we get underway with
number three.
The third most important federal news story of the week, according to Pete Cironis, is from Federal Computer Week. And the headline is, can the Apple iPad get any workplace respect? Now, there's been this small cadre of users of Apple OS and some of the other systems in government for a long time, but it's never been very widespread, a lot like the private sector. But that's starting to change with the mobile devices that Apple is pushing out that are just almost ubiquitous, it seems like.
Right. Well, we at Department of Energy have actually been prototyping and testing the iPad, as a lot of, I'm sure, agencies are doing. And as a consumer, I think this is a topic that really could resonate with folks. The article itself is, what is it replacing? Mm-hmm. And I think that most people would tell you that it's not always in the IT world about replacing, it's complementing.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this idea of platforms and being open, and we all know Apple really has great marketing and they've got really great tools. I mean, the iPhone, the iPod, there's this evolution, and the iPad is something that people are starting to ask, is this going to replace the PC?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, what does that do? And how does, you know, in terms of getting respect, it's still too early to tell. I mean, Chris Dorabeck has probably got in plan to get every iteration and version of the iPad coming out.
Yes.
But this really, I think, has charged the market, if you will, with this whole smartphone or smart device and mobile computing discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You can't simply answer the iPad will replace the netbook, will replace the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as how it can be used, it's obvious that certain skill groups who need to be mobile and carry something around that does more than make phone calls or listen to music,
mm-hmm,
but kind of brings it all together. The iPad is showing signs, and other tablets, mind you. There are other tablets out there. There's Windows tablets are coming out, the Android operating system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're seeing the tablet evolution come forth. And what that does in terms of hopefully what we'll talk about today is this whole drive towards openness in government,
yeah,
but also transforming the role of anybody who's an IT professional.
Okay, just real quickly, two thoughts I want to pursue. One, you talk about open government. Apple is not the most open company to do business with, not business-wise, but the OS, they don't license it to anybody the way that Microsoft licenses Windows. For example, iTunes, if you can't get your app cleared in iTunes, you're pretty much out of luck. Music is proprietary, all that stuff. Does that make it more difficult for people in your shoes to try to deal with the products themselves and get them on your network?
Short answer, yes. The reality is, Apple has brand loyalty, and folks will buy Apple because they've used Apple.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to have a MacBook Pro in my house, have nothing against the PC. I just like the way it operates. It's easier to use, etc., for me. But from the standpoint of government, I think we need to shift out of what's the product and who makes it into the service. What am I trying to do with this device, this smartphone? And if it's closed off, I mean, you know, maybe it won't be down the road. But this is where it's not so much, hopefully, about market share from the Apple perspective. And if the federal government looks to adopt a lot of these capabilities that it has outside of the iTunes and the fact that you can watch now video conferencing on the fly, but if it finds its niche in the federal workforce, you know, and we can maybe still have Apple believe that they could be branded a certain way, then how, what services it can provide, I think, is more integral to what, you know, we're looking for in the federal government, how it fits in.
Okay, and that response kind of answers what my next question was going to be, which is, are we thinking too much about, for example, the iPad in particular, and not enough about the entire sector of tablets when we have Android tablets that will be on the market shortly and Windows tablets, as you said? Should we be thinking more about tablets as instead of that particular brand? But you kind of alluded to the idea of thinking more about the destination rather than the mode of transportation.
Absolutely. At Department of Energy, I'm leading an effort that's the Department of Energy's IT Strategic Roadmap. And part of that, in terms of going out to the community and interviewing folks in our lab community and folks who are doing things that are eons faster, if you will, in the technology realm than what we're doing maybe at the headquarters arena, they're using some of these tools and technologies, and they're using them not because necessarily the brand, but because it's what complements the mission. And if we look at things as services and we procure things as for service purposes in government, I think that's the shift we're seeing. That's the paradigm shift.
Yeah.
It's not, do I do Apple or do I do Android? It's, I need a smartphone that does this. It's like buying a cell phone in your house or your mobile phone for your home. You might want the iPhone, but if AT&T isn't really going to be your coverage area, you just shouldn't get it. But in government, if we can get to where it's, I need a tablet to perform these services, let's do a cost-benefit analysis and figure out which one plays in the end to be the one I need to choose.
All right, there's a whole lot more there I'd like to talk about, and we'll get to some of these because this the stories that you've chosen on the countdown this week kind of have this thread, so we can expand on this a little bit more. Pete Tsironis' story number three in the countdown is from Federal Computer Week. The headline is, "Can the Apple iPad get any workplace respect?" It's a John Moore story, and you can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. Loretta Doan, you always bring an interesting worldview and an interesting twist to the countdown, and
this week
is no exception. Your number three story is a baseball story. The headline is Bryce Harper and Nationals reach a deal. And I'm not going to get into the baseball aspect of this. Bryce Harper, number one draft pick, signed by the Nationals this week. The whole song and dance routine, but he signed and he's going to play in the Nationals farm system starting next season and involved in some camps and instructional leagues the rest of this year. What does this have to do at all with the federal government?
The minute I heard that Bryce Harper had actually signed with the Nationals, right after I did a high five and said, thank goodness.
Because you are a huge Nats fan.
I'm a huge Nats fan.
And easy to spot at Nationals Park.
And probably some of the very best seats in the ballpark. But what I realized, my very second thought was, what a great teachable moment for people in Washington. And the teachable moment is what it takes to build long-term success with a team that's going to ultimately be an incredibly superb winning team. And immediately, I also thought about the Obama administration, which right now is having challenges with that. And so I looked at what the Nationals did, and I thought, one of the things that they didn't do is they didn't succumb to the immediate peer pressure of negative publicity. So if you remember back 4 years ago, we've had, you know, the Nationals have had three pretty disastrous seasons prior to now. And there's been a lot of pressure on them to try to up the, you know, superstar power.
Go sign free agents and, yes, and spend a lot of money immediately.
And they didn't succumb to that because they had a vision that they wanted to grow a team, a farm team that would grow up indoctrinated in their culture, understanding the way that they wanted to develop a winning approach. And when I look at the Obama administration, sometimes when there are problems that happen, the first thing that happens is rather than trying to go to the core and say, how can we go to our career federal employees who have had experience with a lot of these issues, may have some background on it, and find out what possible solutions are, right now it seems like the Obama administration's first idea is, oh, let's appoint a czar. And so that's kind of like equivalent to the, you know, the star power of the free agency. Then I thought, you know, if you look at the, what they're doing with the Nationals, they're relying very heavily on their farm team mentoring and bringing them up through the ranks. And we've seen a lot of initiatives. I know when I was GSA administrator, I started a mentoring initiative, and we're seeing them carried through with the Obama administration. But I think we need to see even more emphasis, especially as we have to focus as a government on cost cutting. I think all Americans are looking to the government to focus on ways that you can grow that leadership team through mentoring rather than trying to buy it, so to speak, from the outside.
But one place where that made sense to me, you wrote a little synopsis of this, and I'm going to post that. I don't normally do that, but this, since this one's a little bit far afield, no pun intended, of what we normally talk about, I'm going to post that so people can have some context for it. But the first thing that I thought of was acquisition workforce.
Exactly. You know, I have been a staunch advocate for more support for our contracting personnel because they truly have, no insult to you, Pete, but acquisition folks have the hardest job in federal government, and they're really not getting the recognition or the assistance they need. But the final thing that made me think about this as a teachable moment and what you could do with the national strategy is when you're at a Nationals game, and Francis, I know you go to a lot of them too. Let's be honest. D.C. is a very tough political town. People have very sharp elbows. It is incredibly divisive, and it gets pretty nasty. And sometimes the Nationals Park is the only place where you can see Republicans and Democrats, independents, liberal, everybody standing, cheering one thing, whether it's Strasburg pitching, someone, you know, who's being brought up through the system, or, you know, whether it's the new acquisition of Bryce Harper. And this is a place where you can see folks putting aside sometimes petty political differences and saying, we have something bigger ahead of us, something that's going to inspire a city, inspire a region, and perhaps a nation. And I think these are some lessons that the current administration might want to consider.
Interesting, as always, your take on things like this, and I appreciate a little bit of change of pace every once in a while. Loretta Doan, your story number three on Federal News Radio 1500 AM's Federal News Countdown this week is about Bryce Harper signing with the Nationals this week and how it represents a potential teachable moment for federal agencies. It's In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Loretta Doan and Pete Cironas counting down the news stories they've chosen as the three most important federal news stories of the week. And we'll get up to story number two when we continue in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
Good news stories versus bad news stories. Several hundred mid-career members of the military participated in a discussion with members of the media at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas about the motivation of the media when it comes to reporting on the war. The experiences of some troops and where they served seem to color their thoughts. Many believe the media is not doing a good job. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Arink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
Here's Dr. Jeff Vose from the National Institute of Standards and Technology commented during the panel discussion on trust in the Internet. Is trust the next killer app? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
I firmly believe that the whole trust issue is the next killer app. It's not a U.S.-centric problem by any stretch of the imagination. It's a global problem. But then you have the interoperability of the global space. You have certain countries that are actually, you know, as we all know, performing certain cyber attacks on other nations.
To hear the show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Securing identities in transactions is an essential component to building trusted online systems and a critical priority for both business and government. Trusted online environments can reduce costs, expand services, and are critical to protecting how and with whom information is shared. Booz Allen Hamilton has developed an integrated approach to cybersecurity, identity, systems development, and trusted services. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. How can the government hire the best and the brightest? Government HR executives offer their thoughts. We'll get details. And if you do hire those people, what's the best way to bring them on board? We're going to talk to the authors of a book about onboarding. And guess what? Here's a hint. It's more than just those few first days. We'll tell you how to get it done right this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown this week with former GSA Administrator Loretta Doan and Pete Tsironas of the Energy Department, choosing the stories that they think are the most important federal news stories of the week and counting them down here. We are up to
number two.
Pete Tsironas' second most important federal news story of the week is headlined Federal Agencies Awarded for Promoting Open Government. It's from executivegov.com. And open government, of course, is something that Anish Chopra, who's mentioned in this story, has been talking about since like the moment he was sworn in. It's been a big priority for this administration. What do you think the importance of recognizing agencies are doing it well is, Pete?
Well, 20 years in government, I can tell you from experience that recognition and being an affirmation kind of guy, getting a pat on the back means a lot.
Thank you, Loretta.
But the fact that it's actually part of the language of this administration or just in the federal government, yes, Vivek Kundra and Anish Chopra came in and ushered in with words like cloud computing and data.gov and regulations.gov and Web 2.0. It wasn't that these terms or these types of technologies, or should I say platforms for these technologies, were talked about in years past, but they became hot buzzwords. Mm-hmm. And transparency, participation, and collaboration, right? Those are the three words that kind of came out in that first presidential memo. And again, back to being a public servant, it's not just about, hey, here's a process, here's how we do it, and there's the data. It's mm-hmm. the dialogue about the data, as far as I'm concerned. It's one thing to post information in a dashboard. It's another thing to say, what do we do with those metrics? Now, how do we improve government?
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a considering new ways to be open versus just having the data out there. So, again, I want to reference what we did, if I have a minute here, to
sure.
talk about the strategic roadmap. It's one thing to say I'm going to build a document at the Department of Energy as to how 120 or 30,000 people communicate, be it their industry, contractors, public servants, program offices. It's a big, big, big department. And from a technology perspective, investigating as to what we're doing and how we're doing and using tools and so forth requires getting out there and meeting people. And it's learning about these processes, and that's the transparency. Mm-hmm. And then it's also collaborating and being a relationship builder. And to me, the end result will be a document, a deliverable that we present to the leadership at DOE. And we got Dr. Chu is behind this. I mean, he's really encouraging this whole collaborative feel. So I think at the 10,000-foot level, you can speak those terms, but actual doing it and mm-hmm. then getting rewarded for it or recognized for it is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way when you're not sitting in the senior executive rank,
yeah.
but you're a civil servant who comes to work and wants to do this on a daily basis.
I believe very strongly in rewards and acknowledging accomplishment. But I was happy to see a political appointee actually accomplish some of his goals that he had announced maybe during a confirmation hearing or something like that. Oh, I'm sorry. But what I didn't see and what I think could be a bad trend is they're giving the awards for promoting it. they haven't actually accomplished it. And so to me, it would probably have been more appropriate to acknowledge the agencies that are doing a splendid job. But to call it an award, to me, sort of implies that the simple promotion of open government was the goal. No, the goal is open government, and that is going to take a long time to accomplish. And I worry sometimes that what we have is a lot of bumper sticker stuff going on in government where, in order to satisfy leaders of agencies and organizations, people quickly claim success rather than actually doing the hard work that really needs to be done, understanding that it may take a long time to receive the award that deservedly they should get once they accomplish the goal. And so that was my only concern with this program and the idea, is that it seems a bit premature. There's a lot of talk about transparency, but the execution of it is still quite flawed in government.
What do you do from the inside to make sure that you're not just winning awards and checking off boxes and so on, but that you're really achieving change?
Right, right. So this article didn't hit me, and it's interesting, just people's perspective, how and what you take away from it. Reward, recognition, affirmation. In my field in IT, one of the toughest jobs, and they call it sometimes a thankless job of IT, is introducing new technologies, but you're not going to see the bang or the return on that investment for years.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I had to sell the concept of voice over IP, IP telephony, which we all do in our homes today, 10 years ago. And we had to sell it based on, we're pretty darn confident we're going to save money in the next 3 years. Now, if an administration's coming in and maybe has 4 years to do something, maybe that's not enough time to say, well, let's jump on that project. So mm-hmm. for me, what resonates with this is that I live in a field or in an environment where I can't produce results immediately. Cloud computing, for example, is a wonderful concept. It's being embraced from the standpoint of, yes, the administration's talking about it. They're not mandating it, but they are asking agencies to think about using it. The benefit on that return, the benefit on that transparent, or if you will, evolutionary way of providing services, won't be known for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only say to the three of us, for example, in this room, if you think today how you're using the internet versus how you used it 5, 6, 7 years ago, you probably couldn't have predicted it would have been this way.
Right.
So, you know, my point with this article was simply, hey, you know, being open and being transparent and driving change and rewarding along the way, I don't care if it's in the concept stage, in the prototyping stage, or in the ultimate implementation and showing that you had results on it, you have to realize that you got to light a fire somehow. And mm-hmm. if it gets people excited to start thinking about doing things that are in this open government initiative in a way where they're thinking differently. And again, in the IT shop, CIOs are asked to be more than just the people fixing and keeping the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, reward and recognition along the way, I'll take it, you know, what is that, 6, 7 days a week
sure.
and twice on Sunday
yeah.
because I know I'm being appreciated for this work that I do.
Pete Cironis' story number 2 on the Federal News Countdown is headlined Federal Agencies Awarded for Promoting Open Government. It's from executivegov.com, and you can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The Federal News Countdown continues with Loretta Doan's story number 2 on the countdown when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Marlis Majerus. Mideast peace talks are set for early next month here in the nation's capital. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton warns that enemies of peace will try to derail the negotiations.
As we move forward, it is important that actions by all sides help to advance our effort, not hinder it.
President Obama will host Israel and the Palestinians, as well as leaders from Egypt and Jordan. Today is also the first anniversary of the release of the Lockerbie bomber. The man convicted for his role in bombing Pan Am Flight 103 was freed from a Scottish jail because doctors said he would die of cancer in 3 months. National Security Advisor John Brennan says the U.S. is still contesting that release.
We'll continue to call for his return to Scotland and that he serves out his prison sentence there.
More news at MSNBC.com. Marlis Majerus, NBC News Radio.
Hit the books with your best looks. Shop the JCPenney Back to School sale this Friday and Saturday with doorbusters Friday 3 p.m. to close and Saturday 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. like $3.99 Junior's Arizona camis, 60% off guys' jeans from Abrex and South Pole, and girls' Total Girl Skinny Jeans for $9.99. It's all saving, no waiting with JCP Cash. $10 off on the spot when you spend $50. Go to jcp.com to see everything on sale. New look, new year, who knew? JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offers end August 21st.
Now at the Home Depot, get a 4-pack of EcoSmart 60-watt equivalent CFL bulbs for just $5.85. Change out just 4 of your incandescent bulbs, and you could save over $200 on your energy bills over the life of the bulbs. That should brighten your day. We're lowering the cost of lighting your home, starting with 4 packs of EcoSmart bulbs for just $5.85. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from August 12, 2010. The G Fund is unchanged at $13.37. The F Fund falls 0.02 at $14.26. The C Fund down 0.07 at $13. The S Fund drops 0.07 at $16.85. The I Fund is down 0.01 at $17.38. Losses for your L Funds. The 2010 falls 0.01 at $15.45. The 2020 is down 0.03 at $15.35. The 2030 falls 0.04 at $15.43. The 2040 is down 0.05 at $15.54. And the L Income drops 0.01 at $14.10. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Scientists with the Environmental Protection Agency have collaborated with the Department of Energy to develop new water quality software that enhances a local water system's ability to know when it's been intentionally or unintentionally contaminated. It assists both agencies in meeting goals connected to homeland security. Utilities can use the Canary software in conjunction with a network of sensors to quickly detect contamination, more accurately assess when and how to respond, and then issue warnings to customers if necessary. The software can help detect chemical and biological contaminants, including pesticides, metals, and pathogens. Canary is available worldwide as a free software tool to drinking water utilities and is currently being used by more than 600 of them in 15 countries.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
We asked women how they felt about getting older. Their number one answer?
Invisible.
I am the invisible woman.
No one gives me a second glance anymore. It's like, hello, over here.
Well, Instant Effect is going to change that because we believe every woman deserves smooth, beautiful skin that gets noticed. In fact, we feel so strongly about it, we're giving every woman who wants to look noticeably younger instantly a free trial of Instant Effect. Just call 1-800-900-1141 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a proprietary skin-firming serum that tightens skin on contact. Just smooth it on and watch your wrinkles and fine lines disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. The results are so dramatic, women have called it life-changing.
I get noticed now. I look like I did 5, maybe even 10 years ago.
Take years off your appearance instantly with your risk-free trial of Instant Effect. Just call 1-800-900-1141 in the next 10 minutes. That's a free trial at 1-800-900-1141.
I'd say most people know that they could save 15% or more on their car insurance by switching to GEICO. Helping people save money, it's what I do. And quite frankly, it's something that GEICO's been doing for over 70 years. But here's the really good part. GEICO is actually a shorthand term for Government Employees Insurance Company. So yeah, GEICO and the government employees, we go way back. Which is why if you're a federal employee, you could save even more money on top of GEICO's already low rates. And the news just gets better. GEICO's got an impressive 97% customer satisfaction rate. So you get some of the best service this side of the Potomac, and you get to save hundreds at the same time. Win-win, my friend. Oh, I've got to run, but I'll let my friend Mike fill you in on the rest. All yours, mate.
Thank you, my little green friend. Hey, it's Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, then I've got some good news for you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com and see how much you could save.
You probably know a neighbor, a coworker, or even a relative who's training right now for the Marine Corps Marathon. It's time for you to get off the sidelines and into the action, working alongside the proud men and women of the United States Marine Corps. Volunteer for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend from October 29th to the 31st. Support is needed at the Kids Run, on course, and at the finish with specialized medical and massage therapy volunteers requested. Sign up to volunteer as an individual or a group for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend in Arlington, Virginia. Call 1-800-RUN-USMC or visit marinemarathon.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pleased to have Pete Cironis of the Energy Department and former GSA Administrator Loretta Doan on the Federal News Countdown this week. And Loretta's story number two is from NextGov. It's Brittany Ballenstedt's story with the headline, OPM says Fed's underpaid 22%, which is directly contrary to a whole bunch of other stories that we've seen in the, shall we say, more general interest media over the last couple of weeks and months. Federal employee compensation really coming under a lot of fire lately, Loretta.
I think it is, and I think there's a very good explanation for it. I would like to give Federal News Radio credit, though. I think we actually broke the story first with an op-ed that I wrote back in early February called Federal Workers Are the New Fat Cats.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was saying is that there is, as you said, a big dichotomy between what the public sees as adequate compensation for government work and what the government workers see. And it's not that any one party is right or wrong. It's actually, like everything, a very convoluted picture. I have worked with some of the most outstanding, incredible career government employees who deserve every penny that they get, and they actually deserve more. I mean, there was a guy, Mike Wooden, in our legal department at GSA, and the man worked through chemotherapy. He literally worked till the day he died. And you can't see that kind of dedication anywhere, really, but the federal government. It deserves to be compensated probably more than it is.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there are a lot of federal workers who oftentimes are doing duplicative work or work that simply doesn't need to be done at all. And that's what I think Americans are seeing. But you see a lot of different stories. There's the USA Today story. There's the GovExec story. And actually, the government itself, the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, posted a report saying that a large number, you know, over 70% of government workers are actually overpaid for their skill levels and the number of hours they put in and the work they do as compared to the private sector. So in some ways, you're kind of comparing apples and oranges,
mm-hmm.
because in the private sector, you have a lot more profit and loss responsibility. If you don't succeed in your job, if you don't make your bottom line profitable for your corporation, your job goes away. In the government, you don't quite have that burden because the taxpayer picks up the cost, even if you have a failed program. And so I think what is not being measured in these scales is the level of risk. In private sector, risk is very high. Government sector, risk is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and industry compensates according to risk. Government does not.
The USA Today story seemed to be the story that Director Barry was responding to. That's the one that got the most hay in the general
right.
interest media. And I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember if it was citing average income or median income. But it seems to me that these two sides on this, these that have staked out these positions, the what I call the anti-government crowd, the people who are just bound and determined that no matter what the government does, it's not going to be good enough or right. They have a point that the average federal worker makes a lot more than the average private sector worker. And they don't seem to care that somebody that works at McDonald's is factored into that average and so on and so forth. That's not an invalid point, but it's also not an accurate characterization, I don't think.
But I think it
seems to me that it's accurate to characterize people who do what Pete does in the private sector and not include the guy that works at Giant. A perfectly respectable job, but not comparable to somebody who's helping to run an IT shop at an organization.
Well, I would argue that the CIO at Giant has equal challenges because his
job
is...
Well, the CIO at Giant does, but not necessarily the guy that's going to put my groceries in a bag.
Right, but I think...
And he's counted in that
USA
Today number,
too. The USA Today report, which was so contentious, if I remember correctly, because there were several. The Wall Street Journal did one also. And what they did is they went by labor category. And so when you're looking at labor category, you're looking at all CIOs across the platform, or you're looking at all COOs across the platform, or you're looking at all analysts us across the platform. And so in that respect, what the right or wrong of it is not, in my mind, necessarily important, because I don't want to take away anything from dedicated career government employees. But I also know that when unemployment is high, and the CBO report that just came out yesterday was devastating, saying that these unemployment numbers are going to continue that way for easily another year or two, there is a perception of overpayment, and especially because the government is so highly unionized, and it is so clear that this administration has a bias toward unions and toward ensuring that the benefits of those unions will remain sustained regardless of how other sectors might suffer. And so I think there's a lot of different issues that are contributing to this perception of unfairness. I think both sides have merit, but what I think federal workers need to take from that is they need to be wary. There is a public out there that is very frustrated, very worried, and some of them are very angry. And perhaps doesn't do well to sort of, you know, tout about, we have, in Washington, we have a lot of award ceremonies. We have a lot of generous compensation. You know, we have incentive bonuses. We have retention bonuses. We have annual bonuses. We have spot bonuses. I mean, there are a lot of different types of bonuses. They may be small in number, but to a person who's been facing unemployment for 3 years, he doesn't want to hear that.
I might say that from my view, there are a number of things that the administration has done and that Director Barry's talked about that are, I think, fingers in the eyes of the union people that supported President Obama in the election. But that's a discussion we can have another time, and I'm sure we will. If not here, we'll do it off the air, Loretta. Pete, when you and your colleagues inside government, the career folks, see these articles, hear these discussions and so on, what's that like from the inside? Separate out the politics or the all of that of it. I mean, what it boils down to really from your perspective, I imagine, is there's a lot of people out there that think that you are doing or acting or being a certain way that may or may not be really accurate.
Yeah, I'm a taxpayer, right? I have the best job in government, and I will say that obviously I wouldn't be around 20 years. I wouldn't have pursued a master's degree and decided to stay in the government if I simply wanted to make a lot more money. I had the opportunity last year to spend time with CIOs from around the world who seemingly do make a lot of money doing what they do. And at the end of the day, the things that if we separated that discussion out about dollars, it's that ability to help cultivate change or foster change in an environment. When you spend a number of years in the federal government like I have, and I've had the fortune of working in DOD, at the Department of Education, now at the Department of Energy, I do. I can say I go home at night. Some days, maybe I didn't make as much of a difference as I have on other days. But the fact that I'm shaping policy, and in the job I'm in right now, where I'm actually out of the business of keeping lights on, but I'm meeting people, I'm meeting with industry. I don't look at industry any different than I do my colleagues in government. It's this bringing together, and if you wanted to say it falls under the veil of openness in government, fine, but it's the way I conduct my business. And this culture, and you'll find that today in these tough times, I have more people that I never would have imagined seeking employment in the federal sector, and it's obviously not so much about the money, but it's what is it you actually do? So I educate on a lot of the opportunities that are out there, and there is that feeling that maybe you're not making the big, big, fat salary, but in terms of the culture and helping build something and having that opportunity in Washington, I mean, that's something I'm going to talk to my kids and, God willing, my grandkids about how I helped shape the federal government. That's what I'm proud for.
This is a discussion that's not going away anytime soon, and, of course, we'll continue to follow it at federalnewsradio.com. Loretta Doane's story number 2 on the Federal News Countdown this week is headlined, OPM says Fed's underpaid by 22%. We've got a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And also we have posted on our website links to the USA Today story and all the other stories that have appeared all over the media about federal compensation. We're up to story number 1 for Loretta Doane and Pete Cironis on this week's Federal News Countdown, and you'll hear those when we continue on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Scientist David Potocki of Berlin's Free University can turn the steering wheel of his car with just eye movements. He developed software called iDriver, and he's driving it around Berlin just by looking in different directions. iDriver lets you drive the car up to 31 miles an hour. It remains unclear whether this will be commercialized. This is the bad idea.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This message is for all women over the age of 45. What words would you use to describe the skin on your neck and chest? Dry? Wrinkled? Sun damaged? How about turkey neck? If any of those descriptions sound familiar, we want you to participate in a nationwide release of the revolutionary breakthrough, NuvaSkin. For a free trial, call 1-800-700-0695. Phone lines will be open until midnight tonight, but we recommend calling now to guarantee your risk-free trial before supplies run out. NuvaSkin is specially formulated for the thin skin on your neck and chest, with clinically proven ingredients that visibly firm, contour, and moisturize. It helps to smooth sagging skin and restore your neck's firmness and elasticity. This proprietary formula can't be found in department stores and certainly not in any drugstores. So take advantage of this exciting opportunity to see dramatic results for free. Participate in this nationwide release of NuvaSkin. Phone lines will be open until midnight and all calls will be answered. 1-800-700-0695. 1-800-700-0695.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
U.S. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke.
The 2020 census will feature a much more prominent role for the Internet. And the more forms that are returned over the Internet, we avoid that postage cost. We'll be looking at how we can use the technology to have that information submitted over the Internet automatically incorporated into our results tally so that we don't have intermediate steps, thereby also saving on cost.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown with former GSA Administrator Loretta Doan and the Acting Associate Chief Information Officer at the Energy Department, Pete Tsironis. And I appreciate both of you being here today. We're up to
number one.
Loretta Doan's choice for the most important federal news story of the week is headline, Feds Clear DeLay. It's a Fox News story about former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay being the Justice Department saying we're not going to come after you anymore. Why does this matter to the rank and file person working at the X agency?
When I looked at this, I didn't look at this particularly as a story of Tom DeLay or as a Republican being vindicated during a Democrat administration. What I looked at it at is the role that we see federal prosecutors playing and the role that we see between investigation and oversight, and is it being perhaps a bit overzealous?
Mm-hmm.
And have we perhaps gone, has the pendulum swung so far in the other direction that we're actually beginning to create miscarriages of justice? And so to me, that, because the interesting thing about DeLay's announcement was there were lots of folks who said, oh, yeah, we knew it was going to be okay all along. But there were a lot of special interest groups that even after the Department of Justice, which I hope every one of our listeners has some good respect because these are hardworking, you know, legal, you know, minds that are very, very fine. And there was no respect for that judgment. These folks at Department of Justice looked at the evidence and they decided there wasn't enough there that really warranted the hoopty-la that was requested by Speaker Pelosi and other folks in Congress. And to me, there's a point beyond which, as Americans, we have to say, do we trust our justice system or don't we? Do we believe that an individual is innocent until he's proven guilty? Or are we simply going to look and listen to the media and some of the special interest groups that will continue harking on their special position, whether it's legitimate or not? The other thing, I mean, at the very same time, I guess either that day or the day afterwards, we had the situation with Blagojevich and folks attacking Patrick Fitzgerald, saying that his investigation wasn't, you know, perhaps robust enough, or somehow it didn't manage to, all 24 counts were not equally weighted, and therefore only one count, you know, kind of carried the day. And what I think I saw is that we see a trend in investigation to very sensationalize leaks of information to the press, and folks are condemned in the papers long before justice, the Justice Department has mounted a case or even had any kind of a hearing, or and it makes the Department of Justice's job so much harder when you have all these leaks in advance. Anyway, when I looked at it, I just said that there was a lot of stuff going on and connected with federal investigation, and it seems to me, I've said it for a long time, and I will maintain it, there is a gotcha environment, and to me, it's one of the biggest challenges in government because there are good career and political appointed government folks. They have given their time and their life to public service, and they deserve to be allowed to do the jobs that they were hired to do and not to operate in fear in a gotcha environment.
I got to tell you, I've read this story and followed it in a number of other sources, and it seems to me that this is an example of career, from our perspective, from the way we look at things, this is an example of career federal employees doing what they were supposed to do. As Loretta said, they examined the evidence they were presented with, said there's nothing here we can really move forward on, and dropped it and moved on to the next thing. That's how it struck me.
And yet they're still being attacked, and people are saying maybe the Department of Justice was lax or this, that, and the other. And I just think that's unfair to the Department of Justice.
It's more widespread than just a story like this, though, isn't it, Pete? I mean, there's many, many times where we hear about federal employees who get hammered for doing exactly what they were really supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, I work for people who work for people who work for people. I'm a big believer in protocol, and I could say to this story, which, you know, is totally at another level in terms of, you know, what I've ever been privy to, but you go to work, you do your job, you hope you're getting good guidance, you have good mentors, mm-hmm. and I've had some over the years, and nobody's perfect, but at the end of the day, I'm totally doing everything that I need to do, and that's staying on the right side.
It's about all you can do, I guess.
Yeah.
Federal News Countdowns, the number one story for Loretta Doane this week is from Fox News. The headline is Feds Clear Delay, and you can find that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Back in a moment to wrap up today's Federal News Countdown and hear Pete Tsironis' choice for the most important federal news story of the week when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues. We're back in a moment.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, August 24th at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will discuss critical issues on optimizing government's infrastructure. The panel includes government leaders from DISA, FAA, and the Department of Energy. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, August 24th at 12 noon right here on Federal News Radio 1500 and online on federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Ciena, Riverbed Technology, and Red Hat.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Good news stories versus bad news stories. Several hundred mid-career members of the military participated in a discussion with members of the media at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas about the motivation of the media when it comes to reporting on the war. The experiences of some troops and where they served seem to color their thoughts. Many believe the media is not doing a good job. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Airink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Chow Fraya Thai in Herndon, offering the finest Thai cuisine and warm hospitality. Blue Ridge Shadows Golf Club in Front Royal, Virginia's most beautiful golf course, ranked fourth in Virginia by Golf Magazine, and Waggle Golf Pass, a book containing huge golf deals throughout the D.C. metro area. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the Federal News Countdown. And story number one, as chosen by Pete Cironis of the Energy Department, is from CIOUpdate.com. Why did I know you were going to choose an IT story for the number one story of the week, Pete?
Instinct, man.
I'll take credit for that. I'm guessing that going in. The headline is "The Continually Changing Role of the CIO." Now, this story in particular doesn't only deal with federal CIOs, but you were telling me before we even went on the air, you see a disparity between the role that the CIO is taking in the private sector and the role the CIO has in government. Government has a little bit of catch up to do.
Yeah, I say that again from experience and in discussions with folks who carry that title in industry. And again, that's not across the board, but I mean, you see the great work that Roger Baker's doing over at the VA. There's this getting a seat at the table and being in the C-suite is something that can be discussed. Loretta and I were just talking on the side here during the break as well about change in the information technology arena takes time. And if you're coming in and you've got a 2-year plan or you're only going to be around office for, I think they say the average a couple of years
18
ago.
18 months.
18 months. I mean, what are you really thinking you're going to get done? It could take that long just to sell an idea, begin the procurement, and then the stuff shows up and does it integrate into your environment. So the point of this article and others is the I in CIO. And this is written a lot in articles, not to be cliche, but it isn't just about information anymore. It's about implementation, integration, innovation, installation. And you have to be the person who can manage that and manage those folks, the CFO, the chief procurement officers, and others, to not only understand their needs for technology, but be willing to say, let me tell you, based on what I know of your mission and what your responsibility is, here's what the services are. These are the services that you need to do your job more effectively versus someone in a political position or someone who just says, I want that iPod or I want that iPad because it might be the cool thing that I want. Well, that's the backwards way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that as the role of the CIO and the fact that he or she is now influencing, chief influencing officer, comes more into the forefront, we're going to see that role gain some of that credibility that we do see it on the outside, if you will. And
I want to say one thing, but it will only have credibility if there is a reality check among CIOs and they realize that the government is running a $1.3 trillion deficit and that 40 cents of every dollar is being borrowed from the Chinese. And so if we can see the CIOs stepping forward and volunteering ideas and ways that the government can continue to perform, but say still be able to have a 10% or a 15% cut in its costs, then I think you're talking about a real powerhouse that will be parallel to what you see in the private sector. But until we see CIOs actually doing that, I'm not quite sure about that.
To the point of do more with less, I say bring it on. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a shoestring budget right now and affecting the entire department on just understanding what their needs and services are. So I believe, and I'm a big believer in, as we talk about terms, other buzzwords out there that are called tech refresh, if agencies are given the opportunity through those cost avoidances or even savings to reinvest those dollars in true IT planning and modernization and transformation, that's where you're seeing then, I think, ultimately, where the CIO should have that control and where you should be able to say, don't cut that budget first, because what we're trying to do is influence and transform over time.
I wish we had more time to bring it on, this discussion, because there's a lot more here that I'd like to cover. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I want to thank you both, Loretta Doan, former GSA Administrator, Pete Cironis of the Energy Department, for being my guests and my story selectors on the Federal News Countdown this week, each choosing the three most important federal news stories of the week, and we'll post them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll be back next week for another edition of the Federal News Countdown. Next week, in fact, the birthday edition of the Federal News Countdown, August 27th.
Nice.
Number 45 for me, and I hope you'll be here for that next Friday at 2 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The Dorbeck Insider up next, and we're back on Monday with a brand new In-Depth with Francis Rose.